Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal. I'm Boyd Hilton. Josh Landy, sidekick Josh Landy, is in his Soho House style office where there's builders. Builders are hammering away as we speak, apparently, which is why he's on mute right now. But I can see him, dear listener. He's with us. He's going to chip in whenever he can, when the builders, so to speak, aren't making too much noise. But who needs? Well, we all need Josh. But we've got the additional joy of podcast regular, more joy hero, Jeff Arsenal. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Boyd? You all right?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. I went to Everton. No doubt we can discuss it. Yeah.
So did Josh.
Yeah.
I'm the only one.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who doesn't go. I don't go to away games very well. I think I've got a bit of an anxiety about going to away games, if I'm honest, because I've had some great experiences with, but I've also had anti-Semitic chanting in European games and anti-Semitic chanting in, Chelsea and, I find it all a bit stressful, to be honest, which is, I know, is a bit slightly pathetic, but that's part of the reason why I don't get into many away games. But yeah, but you had a good time.
I had a great time. My friend was having a party up in Liverpool for that weekend. I normally go a couple of Midlands games if they're in the Premier League, and I do all the London games generally, and maybe one Northern game per year, and do a few European trips. But my friend was having a party up in Liverpool, so was expected to go up there, have a great time at the Arsenal, win, and then go and have a jolly up afterwards. It didn't work out that way, but the party was great. I had a great time, had a great weekend there. It's a great place, Liverpool, but the result was hard.
The atmosphere seemed incredible. Like, obviously, they had the new manager bounce. That, I mean, that cliche has never been so appropriate, has it? I mean, he transformed them. I could not believe how on it they were. I mean, you expect them to be a little bit more on it than they were under Frank Lampard, but they were, they played like their lives depended on it, I thought.
We seem to always get it against us. We always seem to get that new manager bounce, whoever it may be, whatever team it is. They always play us the first bloody game. It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's annoying. It's so annoying. But the atmosphere was good. It felt like very, very loud on the TV, very passionate.
Yeah, it was obviously a great atmosphere. I mean, Everton was quite subdued at first because I think they feared the worst. We was very bouncy and up for it. But I mean, it was quite clear after about 15 or 20 minutes that this ain't going to plan because we haven't scored, which we should have done. And then after half time, it was very, very, everyone was getting a bit frustrated. I don't know about you, Josh. What how was you during the game?
Well, the first thing to say is that I am not going to miss Goodison Park when they do move stadiums. Our tickets were the back row of the upper tier at Goodison Park. And Well, you just half of the pitch is covered by the roof that you've got. It's totally absurd. It shouldn't. It's about time they move. So I won't miss that. To be honest, we just thought we're not. We haven't travelled 3.5-4 hours in the car to do this. So we sort of went down a few rows where there seemed to be a bit of space because there was a huge number of fans that seemed to have problems getting into the game. And I know the club have put out a lot of stuff about sort of ticketing and making sure that the people in the tickets at away games are who they're supposed to be. So there was a bit of space. But yeah, the game overall, in terms of the atmosphere, it did feel incredibly unlucky that we were Sean Dyche's first game. There are those builders that Boyd heard. You might be able to hear that in the background.
It's fine.
In general, I didn't think it was quite as bad as maybe it seemed at the time. I didn't think it was like the most horrendous Arsenal performance. I thought probably, it's a draw. It felt like a nil-nil kind of come away with a draw and given the bounce. You know, we conceded too many set pieces and there was a period in the first half where I think they had four corners in about 4 minutes and it felt like that was a tactic and eventually it paid off for them. But I thought we created enough half chances where we've been taking them at other points this season. And also, I haven't done a four-hour journey for a 12:30 kickoff in a while, certainly. And I remember going over, you know, years gone by where there'd be such discontent, let's call it that, amongst the away fans if we did go and lose 1-0 against a team in the relegation zone. But it was also nice, as we've spoken about so much this season, the atmosphere is so improved that still the players got applauded, as they should, at the end of the game. And there was still, you know, Arsenal fans singing songs towards the end of a game and singing "We are still top of the league" and everything like that. So, you know, look, of course, what happened Sunday makes us all feel immeasurably better about what happened on Saturday. But overall, I think if we can come back Saturday, which we'll come on to, and win the game, then kind of all is forgiven. And this hasn't been a year where we've gone and drawn lots of games. We've won a lot of games. And therefore, you know what, if we just go away and lose one game that, you know, we're disappointed by, you know, it's very much recoverable.
You know, Josh, what you were saying about the in the back row. Well, amazingly, I was in the back row with my wife as well. And you had to duck down to see the goal, hadn't you? You know, to see the goal, it was shocking. You really couldn't see, because all the away games, you need to stand. You've got to stand because everyone stands in front of you. So I did exactly the same as you. It was about five rows in front of us. There was two or three seats so we just at half time, we just went down and sat in those, which was better. Now I was on the left hand block. Was you on the right hand block? You know. From the away fans,
I was towards
nearest
the right.
halfway line.
I was towards the right. Yeah,
yeah. I'd have bumped into you otherwise. But that's where we were. Exact back row. It was driving me mad. But
this is why I don't go to away games. It sounds absolutely tedious. I'd much rather sit at home, feet up, watching BT Sport with Martin Keown being aggressive, weirdly aggressive to the presenter at the beginning. Did you see that clip, Josh?
Martin is a magnificent man, an excellent pundit.
Oh, I love him.
Won't have anything else said on this. And we must get him on this podcast this season. I absolutely commit to doing that. I haven't been able to see all of the coverage back. I've seen some of it. I'm not sure I've actually seen the clip you're talking about. So I can't really.
No, it's very funny. Actually. I'm joking. He's brilliant. But there was a very funny bit where, what's his name? The host. What's his name? You know, BT Sport football host, whose name I've forgotten.
The male host.
Yeah.
Jake Humphrey,
thank you. Thanks. See, my early onset dementia is working well.
So early, it's been quite a while now.
All right, yeah. Early as in I'm only in my early to mid-50s. Jake Humphrey asked all the panel, Rio Ferdinand and whatever, whether they thought Arsenal could win the league or something, like could or would do the league, whatever. And they're all answering, and suddenly Martin Keown kind of went, did you say... he just suddenly got, and he kind of walked almost like stepped towards Jake. It was quite funny. And some people have clipped it up on, it's almost like he's like going to like go right towards him to like physically manhandle him or something. It was just a funny moment. But Keown wasn't good form. But as to your point about the performance, I do think that we're so used to how brilliant we've been week in, week out this year, this season, and played such brilliant football right from the first minute and generally dominate games that, yeah, it wasn't that bad at all. If this is how as low as we get, do you know what I mean? Like that is everyone was saying that's one of the worst, if not the worst, league performance of the season. Well, I mean, fine, you know, because I'm sure we'll bounce back, and that level was not so low. It was just a couple of other. We had enough chances, really, didn't we, Jeff, to win it? Yeah. We had, you know, Nketiah had a good chance.
We did.
Odegaard had a really good chance. And they were just a bit, they snatched at their chances a bit. And I think that was because the pressure they were put on by Everton was so intense, almost as intense as you'd ever see. They ran, I think it's the record for the amount of yards ran or whatever by Everton in that game. So it was just them dealing with this very, very intense pressure.
Well, you've mentioned the new manager bounce, which generally happens to us all the time. But I mean, the way Dyche sets teams up, it was in effect. You could see that. And he had, obviously, there's a couple of ex-Burnley players that play for Everton there as well, including Tarkowski, wasn't it? I think he was he at Burnley? Mm. Tarkowski, yeah.
McNeil.
Yeah, and McNeil, that's right. So there was a low block, 4-5-1. And they just stuck in there, and they was just breaking out. You know, they forced us wide, and then they was breaking the lines of where we pass it inside and do those little circles and triangles.
Yeah,
and we just couldn't. And it was a small pitch, but deliberately bumpy. You can imagine they was cutting the pitch up in the warm up. I mean, and our boys just couldn't really play on it. It was, you know, I was just taking, I had to take a second touch rather than, you know, just whizzing it in and popping it off the first time. And that just disrupted us. They was kicking the life out of us. You see, in the first 3 or 4 minutes, Odegaard got scathed down the back of his Achilles tendon, you know, and it just went on. And there was giving space on the right hand side to Saka, but then there was two and three up on him as soon as it got across there. That was really, really disciplined. I'll give it to them. You've got to give it to them. But unfortunately, I mean, this is what worries me, is they did find a way to beat us because, I mean, you know, We had that previously a couple of weeks before against Newcastle when they did that low block effect and we found it difficult to get through them. This is what we're going to have to put up with now between now and the rest of the season. But we mustn't concede goals, because if you concede that first goal, then you are in trouble. You're in big trouble, you know. What you mustn't do is mustn't give silly free kicks away outside the box, because that's all they play on is set pieces, dead balls, corner kicks, free kicks, and hot chance. These teams, that's what they do all week when they're playing a team like Arsenal, is just do the 4-5-1 and just play on getting corners and throw-ins, and well, like Stoke did back in the day, you know? So we've got to be ready for it, you know? But I think the substitutions could have been a little bit better.
Yeah, I question the substitutions. Josh, what did you? I think I was surprised that he brought Jorginho on for Partey, particularly. Trossard fine for Martinelli, wasn't it? I think Martinelli didn't have his best game. But I always still think he's such a massive threat. But what did you make of the substitutions, and what did the crowd make of the substitutions?
Well, I think taking Thomas Partey off is always going to be a bit of a concern, just because of what he gives us and the fear of that we look that little bit weaker when he's not on the pitch. It was frustrating, of course. It was 0-0 when the substitutions were made, and it was barely a minute that had gone by, and then suddenly you're 1-0 down and you wonder if the same substitutions are made. I didn't think Martinelli was having his greatest game. I thought there were periods where he wasn't as effective as he certainly has been, or you'd hope he'd been. And we've got Trossard on the bench now. And when you look at that bench, you think there is a bit of strength and depth. You've got to turn to one of them. And Jorginho, I mean, it was funny, isn't it? We spoke about the possibility of Jorginho and how that could materialise, just as we were doing a podcast for Deadline Day. You know, this isn't someone who we should be totally fearful of coming off the bench. You know, Heerin is a, you know, a player with, you know, ability. I don't think he was, you know, hugely impressive in the half an hour he had, but nor did I think he was, you know, noticeably, you know, a weak link. So I at the time was thinking maybe there's a slight injury problem with Partey. You know, there'd been that doubt ahead of the game. And maybe Arteta was just being a little bit cautious of not, you know, overexerting him. But, you know, in terms of what we had, I think the substitutions made sense. And even, you know, towards the end of the game, if there was, you know, a player that looked like they had a difficult afternoon and had had a difficult first half against Manchester United not very long ago, it was possibly, you know, possibly Ben White. And that substitution also, I think, made sense and could have been done a touch earlier. So, I don't know. I'm not overly looking at it and thinking you got this wrong, that wrong. I think Arteta gave these lovely quotes at the end of the game about loving the players even more after the game and after the defeat. And you know what, as we drove back and it took a long time to get home, not home till it was nearly 7:30 by the time home, 12 hours out the door, you still felt really proud of this team and what they've done so far this season. And, you know, to still, after Sunday evening, feel that little bit better about it and think 5 points, game in hand, a home game against them where, you know, until Saturday would have felt really confident of, at worst, avoiding defeat and feeling like we can beat them. We should still be positive and happy and not get too downbeat that, you know, we lost 1-0 in the game that could have gone either way.
Well, I think if I can come in on that, Ben White, I mean, he was maybe one of our best players up until the World Cup, the break for the World Cup, and he's come back from the World Cup and I don't know what it is, but he's not been right. I can't put my hand on it to work out what's gone. I mean, apparently he's lost a little bit of weight. A few of the boys were saying, but I don't know. And he's not been playing very well. We got brought off at halftime the other week, didn't he? Where he was having a mare as well. I don't know whether his fitness has dropped or something, or maybe he's just resting him. But, you know, taking him off consistently now is troubling. But why not bring on Tommy, you know, because we've got plenty of games to go. I didn't really have too much of a problem with taking off Partey, knowing Jorginho was going to come on, because I do trust Jorginho. I do think he's a good player. A similar type of player to Partey isn't Partey is most probably the best midfield player in the country at the moment, the way he's playing. And I think you have got to take care of him. You've got to be very, very careful if you want him for the long run. And to bring on a player like Jorginho, I don't think he did too bad at all. He gave a couple of balls away.
He's just a bit slower, isn't he, than Partey. He's quite Do you know what I mean? I feel like he slowed it down when we actually needed to speed it up, if anything. That was my only issue with him. I think he's definitely like a keeps the ball kind of player, although he did give it away, you're right, in about his second attempt at a pass, which is unfortunate. But, you know, that's my only concern. I don't have a big issue with it. I'm not one of those maniacs who thinks we shouldn't have brought him and it's stupid. I wonder whether bringing him on as a sub, I think maybe he's a player who needs to start be on from the start to get into the rhythm of the game as well. Slightly, yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. I was more concerned with the substitution going forward. So we was 1-0 down. I would have left Martinelli on, to be honest with you, because we weren't getting no change out of Eddie, really. I mean, and he's okay. Sometimes he's okay, but you know what you're going to get from Eddie. He's not going to be that lad in the box where you can do quick passes with him and stuff like that. You know, it's a bit of a build up. He's not like Jesus, is he? Where he's chasing around. He's really, really got quick feet and stuff like that. Or he's not that tricky, you know, one against one. I would have took Eddie off and left Martinelli on, Saka on the right hand side, and let Trossard go in there as a false nine, because then he could drop into midfield as well and help Jorginho, a forward pass from Jorginho. Plus, he's got great feet around the box, and if he'd have had a chance in the box, it might would have changed it. I mean, we were just a little bit there was nothing changing at the top. And I do think sometimes we do need to change it. I think Seamus Coleman was getting a little bit tired, and Martinelli might have been able to.
Yeah.
Even if they switched Martinelli to the centre and Trossard on the left, you know, I just think if we'd have done that, but listen, who knows? You know, it's all in hindsight.
Indeed, yeah. No, I hear what you're saying, though. Yeah, I think that he's quite reluctant, is he, to swap things around too much in terms of, like, formation and... But, you know, I mean, these are minor quibbles and qualms on a day where we weren't at our best, and I just think Everton deserve a huge amount of credit. And I now see that's our game in hand, isn't it? I didn't realise until today that Everton at home is our game in hand, which has now been scheduled for March the 1st. So we play them again in less than a month. And I'm instantly slightly annoyed that we have to play them again of all teams. But I mean, I can't see them pulling that off again.
I think we'll batter them at home. we'll batter them at the carpet, more space. Yeah. More time,
yeah.
We'll be ready for them. Plus, we're all going to be angry at the defeat anyway.
True. Let's have a quick break, and after the break, we'll have a talk about just how we think it's going, how far we're going to go in this incredible dream ride towards the Premier League title, and more after this.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back from the break. Oh, yes, there's also, Josh reminds me, we should mention the Man City finances issue, the 100 or whatever, at least 100 charges they're facing, and what we think of that. Just before we go on to that, I mean, Man City losing at Tottenham was... I've listened to a few discussions of between Arsenal fans about that Tottenham-Man City game. I can't believe... I don't know any Arsenal fan that wasn't 100% rooting for Spurs against Man City on Sunday. Do you... I mean, why wouldn't you? Jeff, you didn't want... Supposed to beat City?
I can't have Tottenham winning anything, mate. Honestly, I
even,
can't.
Like a, I even the game draw. That helps us get closer to the... Really?
Well, if it's the last game of the season, I might be twisted to change my mind, but there's a long way to go. I don't think Spurs are going to catch us anywhere near us. Man City, I still... fear those a little bit, so I would prefer the draw. I never want Tottenham to win anything. I'm sorry.
Wow. That's, you know, I mean, okay. Josh?
I'm staggered. I mean, there is absolutely... I don't care if Tottenham get in the Champions League. They can come fourth. Right. The only thing I care about is, are we winning this league?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean,
I feel
so strongly that I wanted Tottenham to win that game. I'd have happily seen them win 5-0. 1-0 was ideal because, you know, let's not get carried away. But yeah, I felt so strongly that we wanted Tottenham to win that game, as I did when they were 2-0 up at the Etihad, you know, some weeks back, and we were all getting a little bit excited about what could happen then. No, they've done us a massive favour. And for whatever reason, City are not looking quite like the City that they have done in certain years, and have looked like the side that have, you know, had the incredible battles with Liverpool over, you know, the last 4 or 5 seasons. So, yeah, if you didn't feel positive about looking at the league table and seeing we were still 5 ahead with the you know, with obviously the game on Sunday to come, the fact that City is yet again put in a performance where you can think, hang on, this just isn't quite what we've come to expect from City, gives you even more confidence, especially ahead of our game against them in eight, nine days' time. So
yeah.
I was absolutely, you know, cheering Spurs on. May it continue.
Yeah, completely. 100%. I respect your fundamentalist anti-Spurs views, Jeff, of course. But anyway, that's just a minor point. But what is incredible to see, isn't it, I think, is how Pep is being so stubborn about his team selection. He's doing that thing he does where he kind of picks players out of position and comes up, that whatever the fuck the formation was against Spurs was really weird. It just didn't work. It's definitely like, I now feel like that game on the 15th, which is, you know, us playing them at home, we've got a proper chance to beat them. And then, you know, I mean, then you think, well, we're going to be quite firm favourites for the title. Am I being too optimistic? I am getting carried away. I know.
You know what? I'm more concerned about the game at the weekend because that is such, it's most probably the most important game for the last 15 or 20 years, maybe. Yeah. Because if we can go eight clear.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if we go eight clear, the pressure is then on Manchester City. They've got to win on their game on, I think they're playing on Sunday, aren't they? And then they're coming to our gaff on Wednesday and they've got to win that one as well. You know, to put pressure on us. And I do think we can go into that game if we get a win at Brentford. Because if we draw or we get beat, then it'll be three defeats on the bounce. And that doesn't look good. It takes us back to the Arsenal.
Don't say that.
So it does have, just a fact. If we do get beat, it's three on the bounce and it takes us back to the Wenger days when we was fighting on all fronts for a little while. But I don't think that's going to happen. I do think we'll overcome Gump Brentford, and then City come to our place. We're bubbling again. It'll be an amazing atmosphere there. And I do think we can, man against man, I think we can spin them over. I really do.
Yeah. And I wonder whether, Josh, this financial kind of thing is going to affect them, because they're going to be constantly asked about this, aren't they? In every press conference and every, you know, post-match interview, it's quite annoying for them. To say the least, and plus the fact that they may well clearly be apparently cheating for about 8 years or 9 years at the time when they were winning all those championships.
Well, it's certainly interesting. I wonder how much it affects the players, but it affects the club for sure. It's a huge story that they can't get away from, and there's been this cloud hanging over them for some time because they've had the situation with UEFA and they've had to go all the way, and they cleared their name, you know, eventually in the Court of Arbitration of Sport. And I think possibly to the average fan of other clubs might have just thought this was all behind us. And this news coming out this week, you know, would have caught a lot of football supporters, you know, by surprise, and it's going to take considerable time. And there are, you know, some excellent journalists. Matt Slater, The Athletic, video on this I thought was excellent in trying to dissect it. Martin Ziegler, of course, at The Times has been very articulate on the topic as well. And it's complicated because of the breadth of rules that they have allegedly breached. But every possibility is on the table here in terms of what the repercussions could be. And that's fascinating, and we'll all have to sit by and do it. I wonder if it affects Guardiola, because he might be, and he's spoken about it, about, you know, that if anyone is he, that he's been assured that, you know, everything was done correctly, and maybe he feels there's a danger of his name being, you know, pulled through the mud, or whatever the expression is. So you wonder if it's affecting how he might be feeling at the moment as a group of players. Look, I think they're concentrating on the football and trying to win. And I don't think it's going to sort of see Man City start to, you know, spiral on the pitch. I don't see that coming, but it's absolutely fascinating in terms of what will go. I can't help but think of that, that Carabao Cup final defeat that we had to Manchester City. Was it the 3-0? Do you remember that one, Jeff?
Yeah.
And that was 2018, wasn't it? So was that the final Wenger season, I think? So, you know, of all the trophies that Wenger never won, the Carabao Cup, are we about to put that right? Is there a chance here that Arsenal can be awarded retrospectively the 2018 Carabao Cup and Arsene Wenger's legacy gets ever greater? That I would truly like.
Amazing thought. But I think more importantly, the question is it's unlikely, isn't it? It's very unlikely this is going to be resolved this season. I mean, this could take years, couldn't it? I mean, it's already taken years, but Man City's going to just constantly, you know, they'll have a team of lawyers fighting against explaining all of these, their reasons for doing what they did, etc. But Jeff, if it did come down to it, and, you know, say they got dot points, I mean, again, this is another discussion I've seen, the Arsenal fans saying, fuck them, you know, if we win this league, however, it doesn't matter. I'm a bit purist by saying I kind of want us to win legit and not, you know, just win more games than them and get more points than them and not have any points deducted from them.
I get that. Yeah. I think we'll do that anyway.
Well, you think we'll win the league anyway?
Yeah, I think we'll go on and win the league. But these next two games are going to be vitally important. But I do think we'll go on and win it now, yes. But, you know, this news, didn't we already know everything, what's going on anyway? I mean, we haven't got to be... I mean, it was so obvious what was going on, you know, the stuff that where they're just financially doping their money for years and years and years, where, you know, they could barely sell out at one stage, Manchester City, and, you know, that was when it was only 42,000 at the Etihad at the time, or whatever it was called before it was the Etihad, and then all of a sudden they had all this money, and they brought the FFP in, especially because of teams like Manchester City and others, PSG and Chelsea, but we knew what was going on. But then when they got out of the FIFA thing by technicalities, we thought, okay, well, that's fuck then, because they're just going to do it anyway. And we was one of the clubs that would obliged, you know, and abide by the rules. And I remember saying back in the day, listen, we've got to run with this and do what we can. But if we can't beat them, we've got to join them. And, you know, it seems like now, I mean, we're spending a lot more money now, but I think that's for other reasons. But I just think the same thing will happen again. They're going to have the best lawyers in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're going to tie, it's going to go to drag it out. And time is money for these guys, as you well know. It's going to cost a hell of a lot of money. And I don't think the FA or whoever are in charge of defending it are going to have enough money. And in the end, they're just going to buckle. And they're just tying in knots, and they'll get out of it again. They'll be technicalities.
It's the Premier League, isn't it, Josh? But do you agree you're more doubtful? You think something might happen? You think they could be?
Yeah, I'm not sure this is as clear cut as, you know, they'll be armed up with lawyers and be able to, you know, get away with everything. I don't know. I have no insight from a professional capacity in any way on this, other than it's the most hugely embarrassing thing that the Premier League can have happen. For them to have to come and self-police and go, effectively, our own competition was compromised for nigh on a decade by a team that were ultimately the most successful team in that period. As a brand, as everything you've sold around the world, that is hugely embarrassing that has happened. So to spend 4 years putting a case together to come out with 100 different breaches is of huge, you know, significance and is unprecedented. And they don't have the ability to ultimately appeal here to the Court of Arbitration of Sport. You know, this will go to this panel overseen by a QC, and they will have to analyse, I mean, the evidence. But, you know, for the Premier League to be the ones coming out and going, we've seen 100 breaches, let's not forget, it would also be a huge element of embarrassment to the Premier League if they can't push that case through and prove and be successful on their side. So it's absolutely, you know, fascinating. And I don't know. There's a part of us, a part of me just as a fan that hopes they're innocent, right? You hope they're innocent because then you start getting very angry about what Jeff's just spoken about, that were we the ones just keeping the rules? What are Liverpool fans going to, you know, be thinking about this period where they've been pipsicized on numerous occasions? So it's a strange feeling on it. And Man City players of that time who probably feel that very legitimately they, you know, were part of huge success, that, you know, that be completely tainted potentially. So I wonder which
Man City players you're referring to. But
the City players.
Okay. But I like Jeff, I kind of just assume that they somehow dodged all the rules. And, you know, and because you're and because like it were there were technical reasons, like it was past the period of time where they could retrospectively take action, wasn't it? I mean, that doesn't really imply that they're innocent of those previous things that they were charged with by UEFA, etc. So I've always just assumed that they were fairly dodgy, frankly. I think probably most Liverpool fans have as well, that they just kind of found a way to get away with it. So it's like, this thing, the timing seems extraordinary, and it's taken 4 years. But no, is anyone surprised? Like, I feel completely not surprised that, you know, they're being charged with this number of offences and this number of dodgy...
Well, I did hear, on the same day, I think it was one of those radio stations that reported that the government was just about to announce this week that there was going to be an independent regulator for the Premier League. So... I think that the Man City news might have had to come out there and then to stop the regulator getting involved, because obviously the Premier League don't want to regulate themselves, I would imagine.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right.
Yeah, they don't want other people getting involved, so they maybe have had to drop it.
You're right. I agree exactly. Yeah, and that announcement about the government's white paper on football is been delayed by a fortnight, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll get put back again now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. A couple of things before we go to the predictions for that Brentford game. They've raised the season ticket prices they've announced today, Josh, haven't they? 5%. And there's a whole complicated thing about fewer games being involved, etc. But bottom line is, my club level season ticket's going up 5%, so it's going to be even more fucking expensive than it already is.
You are going up 5%, but obviously the situation is different in different parts of the grounds. I think we're up 6% in the lower tier and 4% in the upper tier, and 5% in club level for people like you, Boyd. What they have done is listen to certain feedback. I think this is all largely positive, if I'm honest. You aren't going to be tied in as a season ticket holder for the, you know, for 7 cup games. I think we're down to 4. It's going to be 22 games in total that three cup games, 19 league games and 3 cup games. So you're not being forced to spend that. There's been a huge problem this year with silver and red members being able to actually get access to tickets. So that hopefully leaves the door open to them, for those season ticket holders who don't want to feel compelled to buy the 4 extra cup games that they've had no choice over since we moved to the Emirates. The club are extending, obviously, the discount to the 21 to 24 year old age group. You know, that's going to be there. They're going to have their discount, which I think is important, because you want to bring through new generations of supporters who invariably have less disposable income to spend on going to football. So I think that's positive. And look, the world's, you know, the way it's going, I think there'll be some fans who are sort of relieved, given the huge demand for tickets at the moment, that it's not a higher percentage it's gone up. I mean, it seemed, you know, none of us want to stomach increases, but at least I guess the amount we're all committing to is going to be less overall. But I'm hearing, and Jeff probably knows more about this, the waits for the season ticket, you know, are growing hugely, and the numbers of season tickets becoming available every year. I think they're basically, I think it was Darren Arsenal on Twitter I saw say that, I mean, I think he used the phrase very minimal expected to come up at the end of this season. So, yeah, I think the club are trying to to make little bits of progress where they can. But Jeff, you might know more about this.
No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, even the club level season tickets sold out this season, which that hasn't happened for, I don't know, mate, it must be 10 years, mate. I don't know. It's a long while anyway, since the club level season tickets sold out. But Arsenal have looked at other clubs, as Tottenham as well. And I thought this at the time, and they've got the pricing upside down with regard to, I mean, the most sought after tickets generally for a football match are the ones on the long side in the lower tier. Whereas at Arsenal, the most expensive tickets are the long side upper tier. And I reckon over the next 5 or 10 years, I don't know, I've got no facts about this, but I do think that they're going to follow what Spurs are doing. Because you've got some Spurs tickets, when they move, they could do it because they've moved stadiums, and we could have done it when we moved stadiums, but you can't do it when you're now there. But at Tottenham, when they moved, they took a lot of the people that had centre blocks in the lower tier, they moved them to the side a little bit, pushed everyone round. And the centre blocks, they've got those for corporate blocks. Now, the centre blocks at Tottenham Hotspur, in those corporate blocks, and you don't get nothing with it, are £273 each. Now, whereas at Arsenal, I think they're 35 quid or 40 quid. Right. So I would expect them to, because they know they've made a mistake, you know, I would expect them over the next 5 or 10 years to slowly move the centre blocks to the side, take some tickets away from the red memberships and everything else, and just spread everybody out a little bit further so they can generate more revenue, because they've got it the other way around, that the most expensive tickets should be downstairs rather than the ones in the upper tier in the centres. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I've never really understood why the ones closer to the pitch weren't more expensive than the, yeah. So it's weird. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, fascinating. Anyway, let's move on to Brentford. As you said, I mean, they're on a roll, aren't they? They've kind of loads of games unbeaten. They're not just a pushover, even at home. A rare Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, Josh. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it is a rare Saturday 3 o'clock. I could imagine that's a good time for you to nip up to some lovely place in Islington at about 12 o'clock for your snails or whatever you're still getting for a lunchtime. Look, Brentford, look, they're a very stable Premier League outfit, aren't they? And they've also got three, you know, successive Premier League clean sheets. I think four clean sheets in the last five I read earlier today. So this is, you know, not a gimme by any means. And Jeff said it's the biggest game in 15, 20 years. I don't agree. I think regardless what happened, City is, because what we do against City is, you know, absolutely vital in keeping them away from us. So, yeah, I'm totally, you know, totally intrigued. I think this is going to be horrible and gritty, and I think we can just about do enough for a 1-0 win and get away that slight nervous energy of what's crept in from, as Jeff said, the defeat away at City and, you know, defeat on Saturday. So I think 1-0 Arsenal, boys.
Okay. I think he might make a couple of changes, mightn't he? With, you know, I think, considering we've got like two games in a week.
I think Tomiyasu. I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Tomiyasu come in.
Maybe Trossard.
What are you thinking for the other one? Yeah, I don't know. Trossard didn't do a huge amount when he was very involved when he came on.
Yeah. I don't want him to make many changes, but I just wonder whether they, you know, I mean, it should be fine. I think he's got to stick with playing the players that have got him this far, but who knows? Jeff, what do you think? What do you think will happen?
Yeah, I think they'll come and try and play that low block like Newcastle and Everton have done. I think that's the way they play anyway, and try and hit teams on the break. But to be honest, I think we're going to have too much for them on that carpet. We'll be zipping the ball about. We know what we need to do. I think the boys understand exactly where they are at the moment. I'm going to go, we're going to get an early goal and win 3-1. We mustn't concede first, though.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to say 2-1. Yeah, I think we will concede. It's going to be every game now. It's got to that point, hasn't it? Even though we never thought this would happen, it's ridiculous that we're top of the league. We're 5 points clear with a game in hand. But now I feel like every game is a grueling, tense anxiety-filled almost nightmare unless we're kind of comfortably winning it, because we're so, because we it's in reach, isn't it? It's just insane, I think. But that's how it feels to me. Like, and now every single game is, to use that cliche again, it's a massive cup final. It's just,
you can lose every game in the Premier League, any game, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I just have our position, and you know, every game for us is incredibly exciting, though, I think. Anyway, thanks so much, Jeff, as ever.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I've had to wrap up quickly because I've got to go and see Magic Mike, Josh, in the cinema.
I hope you have a fantastic time.
Thanks.
Is that something you're expecting to be particularly enjoyable tonight, Boyd?
I mean, you know, Steven Soderbergh, the first Magic Mike film was great, was brilliant. Yeah. The second one wasn't so much, but he's back directing the third one, so it might be good, yeah.
If we win the title, do you think it'd be Magic Mikkel? Will there be a film made?
Absolutely. Well, at least thank fuck you've said that, because now we've got a title for this podcast, Magic Mikkel. Thank you, Josh. Cheers, Jeff. See you later.
God bless, boys. Thank you very much. Cheers, Josh.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.